Good evening. Welcome to the Gnostic Waves, the show that is devoted to all things of a mystical and philosophical nature. Thank you for joining me. I'm Diane Razam, the weekly host. And today I'm going to be continuing with the astrological series and going through Taurus. So the 26th of April, we're well into Taurus right now. If you were listening to last week's show, then you would have heard the review I gave of Aries, and that was the last day of Aries, so I just snuck it in there. So I thought that I would jump straight into Taurus so that we can all appreciate the energies that Taurus brings, and if we choose, we can work and do the practice that's prescribed for this time that we'll go through at the end of the show as usual. And yeah, if we're keen, we can work with the forces that are there and, you know, hopefully benefit from it. So Taurians are people born between the 20th of April and the 19th of May. So they are considered as natives, Taurian natives, or their sun sign is in Taurus. Now, perhaps if we have done a natal chart, then we have certain planets that are in Taurus, and this can also influence our personality, what we call as the mechanical personality. So it's something that we can all benefit from this talk and each of the talks that we'll go through of the zodiac. So to begin with, the symbol for Taurus is the bull. So just as a reminder, if you look on the website for the show, that's www.gnosticwaves.com, you'll see that I put a post, or generally put a post for the show, and for this week it's Joffre's depiction of Taurus. And it might be helpful to have a look, and it's good, you know, even if you know nothing about astrology, to look at the images and the symbols and just to get a feel in the consciousness for what this sign represents. So when you look at this post, you will see a lady that is sitting or riding a bull. Now, this bull is described as the Egyptian Apis, and the lady is called Europa, and she represents Venus. Now, if you weren't aware, Venus is actually the ruling planet of Taurus, and also it is the ruling planet of Libra. So there's lots of similarities between Libra and Taurus because of that influence. But anyway, we're talking about Taurus this week. And so, yes, they're said to be like the bull, or also related to the ox. And so this means they can be reserved, conservative, prudent. They proceed step by step, like the oxen, on a very well-trodden path or track. So the ox or bull represents a sturdy, slow-moving animal that's grazing calmly and serenely on the grass in the field. So, yeah, just to keep in mind that they're not quick movers, neither the bull and nor the Taurians. Well, not generally speaking here. So the virtues that are represented by the bull are gentleness, patience, hardworking, stable, slow, tenacious, and enduring. So very, very strong qualities there of endurance and just sticking at a task. Now, Taurian anger, like the bull, is slow to grow, but usually then culminates in a strong volcanic outburst. So when we see a bull is provoked, like say, for example, in bullfighting, that is eventually going to charge. So in the procession of bullfighting, you know, they provoke the bull and then it charges. So that is similar to the Taurian type of anger. So we could compare it to the Aries anger, which we also covered last week, and Aries is influenced by that Mars, very strong Martian force, and that anger is very sudden and quick outbursts. So just like sparks of fire, and then after it's been expressed, it sort of dissipates, while Saturnian anger is slow to come on. But when it comes, it's just like, you know, get out, you just want to get out of the way of that bull. So, yeah, it's just different signs utilize their energies differently to express these psychological traits in their own sort of unique way. So Taurus is said to be a fixed negative earth sign. So if we don't know what any of this means, we'll start by looking at the aspect of earth. And Jofra writes that under Taurus, substance is moulded into matter, the basis of life. So this brings our fertility and abundance. So Taurians have a special love for all earthly things. And I've noticed in the Taurians that I know, often interested in gardening, which is being close to the earth and food. But we'll talk about that aspect a bit later. So in Jofra's work, in his artwork, he's depicted a very green and lush surrounding because it's to do with growth and fertility and nature. And Europa, who represents Venus, she's wearing a green veil, and this suggests the plant kingdom. So going in with the theme of the plant and nature. So Taurians also like their possessions. And the Taurian says, or their catchphrase is, "I have." So whilst Aries was "I am," Taurians are "I have." So they like their things. And these things could be like things they collect, or their possessions in their home, like, you know, material, tangible things. Or they could, it could be things of sensations, of a sensorial nature. And so the things they have, they tend to look after well, because it's, you know, they like to possess things. Now, it is also a fixed sign, and the fixed element implies a stubbornness, which is a stereotypical trait of the Taurian, and also goes hand in hand with the bull, which we know with most bulls or cows that it's actually very hard to move them. I mean, I wonder if anyone has ever tried to move a bull or a cow. Maybe if you grew up on a farm, you know, it's quite difficult to change its course. It's like on a particular path, you know, and it's quite a weighty animal, so it's not so agile to be guided in a different direction. So, yeah, this fixed sign can also be have like the appearance of being stubborn. But despite this fixed nature, Taurians are actually very sensitive. We shouldn't be fooled, as I often have been, to think that that strength and tenacity that they have, you know, very hardworking people, still very sensitive. Something to try and observe in someone that you know as Taurian, or maybe even in yourself. So in Aries, we had was a cardinal sign, and those types of signs, they naturally like to initiate experiences, or they initiate projects. But Taurus, being fixed, is more set. And so whilst a cardinal sign can start things, they may not necessarily continue on with them. So that whilst a fixed sign, perhaps they may not have started it, but they have the energy of continuing on to completion. So, you know, it's good to have a balance of different signs if we're in a, you know, a workplace or anywhere, because we're going to have people that want to start things and people that want to finish them. So that gives us an understanding of the fixed nature. So then we have the negative aspect. It's a negative sign, Its fixed nature also explains that it's a negative or feminine sign. And so both of those terms are used to describe if a sign is feminine or masculine, or negative or positive. Now, in Jofra's artwork, this negative aspect is shown by the warrior Mars, who is sleeping in the corner, so the left corner. So hopefully you can have a look or are looking at this image as we speak. So whilst this warrior was very active in Aries, he was carrying the torch, which was described as the flame of enthusiasm, and now he is passive and he's asleep. And this implies the passivity and the susceptibility that we have in Taurus. So that's the energy that it brings. So whilst they may not be natural initiators, they are sturdy in their ways, and once they've chosen a path, they tend to stick with it. So yeah, it's not that they're going to be sleeping all the time. Okay, now, as I mentioned before, Taurus is ruled by Venus. Now, this means that Taurians have a sense for harmony and beauty in nature and in art. This also brings to them qualities of sensuality and appreciation of the finer things in life. So things of a sensorial nature, so like good food and, you know, being comfortable instinctively, being warm. Yeah, all those things that are of the senses. You know, good music, well-dressed, you know, all those things are of beauty and harmony. They also, that in various astrology books suggests that Taurians, they respond well to physical contact and, you know, hugs and that type of thing, you know, particularly the children, but also in adults. So as with all things Venus related, the qualities of sensuality, enjoyment of pleasures, and also a wish for peace and harmony. But the flip side of this is that it can also bring laziness and overindulgence. So that's the opposite pole of Venus, where one can become a bit too absorbed in the finer things and just become, yeah, lazy. So we see, again, we see this in Jofra's art, the warrior Mars, he's surrendered and fallen asleep. So there's two sort of meanings to that. One is the passivity that is of the sign, the femininity, but also it can represent the fact that, yeah, the laziness that can arise from the Venus influence. Now, the Master Samael says that the struggle between Venus and Mars is repeated here in Taurus. So whilst in Aries he mentions that the pineal gland is influenced by Mars and the pituitary is influenced by Venus, and both of these glands were enriched during Aries, if you remember, the light we worked with to flood the head area. So the pituitary produces sleepiness and the pineal gland entices us to fight. And so in this manner, while Venus wants to sort of rest and be passive, Mars wants to continue fighting. So he says this continues in Taurus, and it seems that there's the same thing going on with the thyroid gland, which is governed by Venus, and the parathyroid, which is governed by Mars. And I'm not going to go into too much of that science of how they work and interrelate to each other. But it does seem that in Taurus, Venus has the upper hand in the way they interact, or at least the way those glands interact with each other. Yes. Okay. So with so much Venus influence in this time, we're encouraged to work with the angels of Venus. So we know that there are angels, there are conscious beings of everything you can imagine. We're encouraged to work with the ray of love and the ray of beauty, which is of Venus. And the Master Samael says, do you know of any home where bitterness reigns? Do you know of a poor woman abandoned in misery by a suitor, or also a poor man abandoned in misery? Do you want to help her or him? Listen to me well, beloved disciple, for I'll teach you how to use the sparkle of Venus. So in his works, he teaches how to work and connect with those angels. And we won't go through that in this practice, but it's something that one can do. Now, just some of the traits that the Master Samael talks about. He says that a mediocre Taurus is often egotistical, gluttonous, quarrelsome, passionate, irascible, and proud. And the superior Taurian are full of love, is a lover of wisdom and classical music and the arts. They work happily for humanity. They're intelligent, understanding, faithful, and sincere in friendship. So they're a good father, mother, friend, brother, and just generally a good citizen. So, you know, quite reliable, sturdy people. Now, every sun sign contains a strength that can be converted into a weakness, and a weakness that can be converted into a strength. So, for example, what is Taurian? Taurian stubbornness, but patience turned upside down. So everything that is a strength, if out of its place, can become a weakness, or any virtue can, if done excessively, can become a vice. Just like every vice, say for example the stubbornness, can be flipped around and be seen as just very patient. And it's good to reflect on this with all signs and with all traits. We don't want to become too deterministic about ourselves and about other people. Again, we just use astrology as a psychological tool to help understand ourselves, how we work, and to overcome our weaknesses and to help develop our strengths, and also in other people. So not to get too caught up in the identifying with our astrological blueprint. So just before we go to a music break, I wanted to say, if you know any Taurian natives, obviously their birthday is going to be this month, then give them a pat on the back for all the worthy traits and hardworking energies they bring to our lives. Okay, so I'll just play a track. It's from the Hulse Planet series. It is Venus, which we know is the ruler of Taurus. It's called the Bringer of Peace. So we'll just go to the first part of this track, and then we'll be back to continue on this topic. And we're back on the Gnostic Waves doing a review of the zodiac sign of Taurus. All right, now continuing on with the different aspects of Taurus. So the energies, or the sign, rules certain parts of the body. So Aries ruled the head. And so Taurus rules the neck, the nape, and the ears. And so the neck is associated or related to the region of the thyroid glands. And this, we mentioned this above, which is ruled by Venus. And I just thought I'd mention that the thyroid is a large ductless gland in the neck. It secretes hormones and regulates the growth and development by regulating metabolism. So it controls, the thyroid controls the rate of use of energy sources that we have, you know, how quickly we break things down and metabolize things like the carbohydrates and the different proteins and fats and oils. But it also has to do with protein synthesis, which we know proteins help with the muscle, but also with the various enzymes that the body needs to actually catalyze and make reactions happen in our body. So that's just a very simple explanation. Now, if we have thyroid-related problems or any type of problems in the neck area with the voice, perhaps we have an overactive or underactive thyroid, then we can work with the force of Taurus to help heal this area. Okay? So this area, the neck, torus, also is related to the throat chakra. And the faculty related to this chakra are Vishuddha, is its name in Sanskrit. It's to do with clairaudience, and that's the ability to hear with the occult ear. So hear the unheard, you could say. The inner guidance sometimes comes to us through a voice. I know some people may have developed that faculty, are be able to hear things. Perhaps they can receive inner guidance from their higher being, their higher self. And so this is something that with time develops from working with the throat chakra. So, you know, the throat, the voice is related to music, is related to sound, to singing, and also to creation. So it's said that in past times, cowherds drove the herds into the barn while singing in a delightful, simple and natural manner. And so, that, you know, related back to the Taurus, Taurus represented by the bull and the cow, and they respond to pleasant vibrations. So the bull, the cow and the calf are affected by music. They have a correspondence with the sign of Taurus, the constellation of the verb of music. So, you know, it's really lovely association there that we have. So the influence of Venus brings love, harmony and beauty, and then we can relate that to sound, the love of music and the love of arts, which the natives of Taurus generally have. And a lot of other people appreciate art too, but there is, because of that Venus vibration, there is a natural inclination to music and to sound. So probably, you know, if we have like a child that's a Taurus, then we would play, you know, nice soothing music in a harmonious environment. Might actually help them to feel comfortable. So yeah, these are examples of how knowing one's astrology, we can work with them to help them develop and care, you know, so they can grow to their full potential. Okay, so we learn in the Gnostic teachings that creation that we are in, that we find ourselves in now, has originated through song, through sound, through vibration. So we have the creator gods worked with the energies, the creative energies, and through sound and vibration we exist here today. So likewise, we create with our own word. So when we think or feel something, sure, this has a certain energy about it, and we're emitting energy of a particular vibration. So for example, if we're feeling angry, we may not say anything, but we still hold that energy of anger. But when we put something into words, we put our thoughts, our feelings into words, it then becomes an action. So that's why whatever we say, for better or for worse, whether we realize it or not, whether we like it or not, our word has a very creative power. It's said that the larynx is the uterus where the word is gestated. So all of these things are we're welcome to reflect on during the time of Taurus, because it relates, they all relate together. And whilst we may not understand how creation came through sound, we can work to observe ourselves and our own words and how they create. Yeah, it says that our consciousness sleeps in our larynx. We're unconscious of the words we use, and we need to make ourselves become more aware of this. So it's suggested that we need to put an end to mechanicity in speech, i.e. just to speak without thinking or without reflecting, just as we normally would. So all the words that we say, they, for better or for worse, always come back to us. So we need to learn to be impeccable with our, the use of our word. And it's like imagining that our word is a seed. When we say something, we're planting a seed. So we need to become conscious of what it is that we're planting in the minds of our friends, our family, our work colleagues, other people in our environment, because we all affect one another. And then there's also the thing of the internal word. And this is interesting, because we also affect ourselves by the things we say to ourselves. And so if we're always talking to ourselves in a negative way, putting ourselves down, of course this is going to have a negative effect, but it's of a lesser impact than if we say these things out aloud, and particularly if we say them out aloud to someone else. So we want to minimize all unconscious use of the word, expressed verbally but also expressed internally to ourselves. But you know, the work that we do goes in levels and goes in stages. So we work with what we can. So this is not just to say that we only say good things, because we're not always going to feel good things if we have a good grasp of our psychology. We're going to realize that we're not always thinking good things or feeling good things. So insincerity is also a misuse of the word. And the Master Samael says these days insincerity is becoming more prevalent. And this is hard, because it's also corrupting the value of the word, especially if we say something and we don't do it. We say we're going to do something and we don't. We are reducing the value of our word to other people. It's also not just to say we don't speak at all, because that could also, some people might think that is the solution, but it's not, because to remain silent is not necessarily to remain neutral. We can cause problems by not speaking as well. And as I said, being silent isn't being neutral. It's generally conforming with the majority. So there are times that we have to speak, and we should speak. We are obliged to. We are have the responsibility to. So something that we've talked about many times on the show before, and that each and every one of us has to work to understand when to speak and when not to speak. So in this time of Taurus, we are trying to work to become conscious of our words, to become prudent, much like the bull, the conservative, gentle, mostly gentle bull who, you know, bulls don't really talk too much, do they? They don't moo very much. So, just to reflect on that. In particular, to be cautious of the negative words, I think, initially, and also just ways that we speak mechanically, trying to observe these things, not to be too judgmental initially, just to observe. And then how our personality uses the word. So again, these are things, just ideas on what we can reflect on during this time. Okay, moving on, the Divine Mother. So we know that she is that divine feminine force that exists and takes part in creation. So we have the masculine force of our being, and we have the feminine force of the Divine Mother. So we all both express these. So man, woman have both the feminine and the masculine energies within us. So anyways, she is represented, one of her many representations is the cow. And then we see in Hinduism and in places like India, where there's Hinduism's quite prevalent, that the cow is considered sacred and often has right of way on the streets. So if a cow is walking past, they get the right of way. And so at this time, relating the cow to Taurus, we can reflect on the divine feminine. So in Joffre's painting and in the sign itself, it's a feminine sign. It's ruled by Venus. This is like a feminine force, feminine energy. And in Joffre's painting, he includes the high priestess, which is related to the tarot card number 2. And she is like in the sort of middle left part of the painting, not such a big feature, just sort of small little depiction of her. And this is because Isis belongs to the sign of Taurus. This is what Jofre says, because of her death and rebirth. So she represents the veiled mystery of nature. So that mystery of life, that mystery of death, is the mystery that the Divine Mother holds, represented by her veil. So when we want to understand the mysteries, we need to lift that veil. But lifting that veil takes a lot of work, consciousness, and then responsibility, because when we see the reality of things as they are, beyond our own illusion and deceptions, and we see that things are very different. So on a deeper level, we can reflect on how our word is creative, how we hope to incarnate that kundalini fire or that divine feminine fire into the throat chakra. She can awaken our faculties if we are in need of those faculties, not just to use indiscriminately, just for fun. So she helps us to purify our word for higher purposes. So again, when we work with that energy, we can work and direct it to the throat, to the word, for healing, but also to help us to become conscious of how we use the word. Okay, so in a short while, we will do the practice. And just as a preamble to the practice, I wanted to read again what the Master Samael says about the zodiac. And he says, there's an urgent need to awaken consciousness in each one of the 12 parts of the human organism. This is the purpose of these zodiac exercises. So as we mentioned before, the human organism is a living zodiac, and the consciousness is in a deep sleep within each of its 12 constellations. So we want to work to awaken our consciousness by using the exercises of the different signs. So whilst in Aries we worked to bring the light into the head to assist in awakening consciousness, in Taurus we now work to bring light into the neck and throat and to become conscious of the word and give help and healing to that area. All right, we'll just take a short music break, and this is the second part of the Hulse Venus Bringer of Peace.